Okay, it's a Sunday morning, 7:22. We're going to look at prayer call. The title of this is reconnaissance. If you want to know how to spell that, reconnaissance. It's a hard one. I had to look it up. Reconnaissance. Reconnaissance. All right. The Lord started us off with, apostles have authority to take out strongholds. This is part of their office. And we're going to look at how Paul Paul traveled with the team. It wasn't just Paul. He had a team. All right, this is Acts 16:16. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. You think she's trying to disguise herself? Those that appear to be one way and are not? Kind of like trolls? She's trolling here. Even the demons saying, oh yeah. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. So what happened? By him casting out this spirit of divination, this was their means of money. See, they're all about the money. So when you start taking out their means of money, they don't like it. And that's what happened with Paul. He took out the stronghold over that city. All right. It was necessary for the stronghold to be taken down so that the city would be open to evangelism. See, it would have been a hindrance. We'll look at this in more detail later in this teaching. So, back to apostles being the ones to deal with these higher level strongholds like over cities, etc. Remember the Indian tribe with the suicide problem. They had pastors, local pastors, and other leaders doing everything they knew to do, praying, fasting, and stuff to no avail. And they called in this apostle. He was an Indian, a Native American from another tribe, and he got the plan from the Holy Spirit, and he spoke to that spirit of suicide, and it stopped. All right? All right, the Lord quickened to me that those trying to take out these spirits without the anointing would end up like the seven sons of Sceva. See, what the Lord's doing with us, most times of what I've read after those apostles that take over strongholds in cities, they have a whole team working. And this whole team may participate in it. Some do research, some do other things, but that's just kind of the general consensus. It's not just one person doing it, this kind of thing. Now, yeah, maybe in your, like we were talking about yesterday, in your own backyard, yeah. But when it comes to strongholds over cities, it's a little bigger operation. So I think we need to move ahead very cautiously, very slowly and deliberately. As I do the rest of this, you'll understand where I'm coming from. Okay. This is Acts 19 about the seven sons of Sceva. Acts 19:11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by the name whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. What was the problem? Authority. We all are told to speak to mountains, but it is mainly in your own backyard. I believe dealing with strong men, especially out of your domain, is a little different. The Lord said to me, head to head. First apostles, secondary prophets. Head to head. Just like Paul and the fortune teller, just like Paul when he was dealing with these spirits, they saw what he was doing, thought, well, we'll do that, and they got kicked by the devil. They got their rear ends kicked. Their clothes ripped off. All right, let's keep going. Lord said, head to head. Demons work through authority, and they recognize authority when it is exercised against them. See, God has a chain of command in the body of Christ, and there, Satan also has a chain of command. Yeah. Mark 5. We see this in the ministry of Jesus. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. I remember in the series, The Chosen, when he is going to deal with Mary Magdalene that's full of demons. And she woke this guy. It starts out with the guy waking up and he sees blood all over him because she had, you know, done this stuff to him. Well, this priest gets this lamp thing and he's trying to go on there and he's trying to get the demon out of there with that lamp thing. And she hisses at him, scares him. He backs off. See, he couldn't tame him. Nobody could do anything. See, that's another one. Mary Magdalene, he cast out seven devils. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Even the demons recognized that authority, didn't they? For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. I remember that little video I sent y'all about the girl going through exorcism, and the minister that was doing it, he's questioning this demon, and the demon's just rattling it off, just like to Jesus, the information about the shot is the mark. And that didn't look fake to me, that looked real. I'm telling you, I'm going, wow. A church in order is the church that the gates of hell won't prevail against. See, Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to give you the key to the kingdom here. Whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth be loosed in heaven. Oh, it's Peter. Apostle. It doesn't mean we can't use those keys, but he's talking to Peter as the apostle to the church. Let's just look at that because I didn't write that down. This is Matthew 16. It starts off with saying, Jesus asking, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I shall say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou loosen on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In context, I believe he's talking to the apostle Peter. He is the head of this ordeal. He's the one that stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached, and what, 3,000 were saved? I'm telling you, this word, we've been taught it in certain ways, but that don't mean it's the way it is. When you start looking at it in context. All right. We have been looking at spiritual mapping, and I believe this will happen by intercessory prayer. As a team, God will give us piece by piece of intel to begin to form a map. We will work as a team. As we do, a battle plan will emerge, and the instructions to carry it out also will come, so we'll know what to do. Here's our goal. I'm going to read this. This is by C. Peter Wagner. The book is Breaking Spiritual Strongholds in Your City. And this is, there are several different ministers in different areas that took out strongholds over cities and different places that's in this book. So I'm just going to just touch on a little one particular area. This is the church's mandate. This is the overall purpose. This isn't just to take out devils for the sake of taking out devils. There is a mandate. This is by Victor Lorenzo. The church has a mandate to preach the gospel throughout the world and to advance the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Spiritual warfare and spiritual mapping are simply activities that aid the fulfillment of this mandate. They help us discover and destroy the strategies and wiles Satan has used to keep people under his dominion, blinded to the glorious message of Jesus Christ. We don't take dominion just for our advantage, but it's for the kingdom of God. As accurate as spiritual mapping might be, it is my opinion that without explicit focus on evangelization, it has little meaning. It is not an end in itself. Well, we got rid of the devil into that. No. That's just part of it. That's just clearing the way to take evangelism into the area. This is my thought. We are here to occupy, infiltrate, and implement the kingdom of God through the Great Commission, Matthew 28 and Mark 16. All right. Continuing with Victor Lorenzo. Likewise, evangelization that does not take seriously or engagement with demonic powers through spiritual warfare can turn out to be an effort with minimal results. In other words, warfare and evangelism go hand in hand. You have your evangelism teams, but you don't have the power backing it up, the prayer backing it up, taking out the entities that are standing in the way. I think some of the old Pentecostals had a take on that. All right, here's another thought, my thought. I think as a church, we have not done this, thus our ineffectiveness. You cannot do one without the other. Think military and how the military occupies territory. This is Lorenzo again. God has given authority to His church and its leaders to take neighborhoods, cities, nations, as well as continents for Jesus Christ. The effectiveness of the church is winning unbelievers to Christ, and an improving society will depend greatly on its readiness to undertake this battle. Spiritual unity among the churches and dedicated to intercessory prayer are important prerequisites for victory. See, their aim is to get the whole community involved, all the pastors involved and taken out a stronghold over a city. Here's me. Getting the plans each step of the way through intercession by documenting what each one receives when they are interceding. We will begin to see a spiritual map emerge. All right? Here's what spiritual mapping is. Spiritual mapping combines research, divine revelation, and confirmatory evidence in order to provide complete and exact data concerning the identity, strategies, and methods employed by spiritual forces of darkness to influence the people in the churches of a given region. All right, this is from Wikipedia. Recon, a military term for gathering information. This is Merriam-Webster Dictionary. To conduct a preliminary and especially an exploratory survey of. All right, spiritual mapping is like the intelligence forces of an army. Through it, we go behind enemy lines to understand the enemy's plans and fortifications. We do spiritual espionage. I remember Brother Hagin talking about the group of women intercessors during World War II. They prayed all through World War II, sometimes 8 hours a day. They said they would go into prisons where our prisoners of war were being kept, and different God took them behind the scenes, and they saw what was going on, and God showed them things so they could pray properly. See, that's reconnaissance. Okay, this is biblical. All right, I'm going to give you two instances, and then we're going to be done. This is Numbers chapter 13. It's biblical. What we're talking about is biblical. I tell you what, you talk about powerful, these younger people coming up, they get a hold of this, they're going to be so powerful. They're going to be like the young bunch that Joshua and Caleb led in to the Promised Land. All right. Now, we know Moses sent the children of Israel out. We'll start with verse 17. And Moses sent them out to spy the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went in, got up on the mountain, and looked down on the land and found out all the details about the area that they were going to take. Now Joshua 2. And Joshua the son of Nun, verse 1, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. So she hid them, but they were sent in to do reconnaissance. I don't know of any army or navy or anything like that that has boots on the ground that doesn't do reconnaissance. Do you? Not this flippant, well, I bind you, devil, and you know what we go through. Our faith teachings. And there's nothing wrong with that whenever it's warranted. Instead of just used flippantly. For anything and everything. One little prayer, I rebuke in the name of Jesus, does not take out a stronghold and does not do much of anything. It may do a little bit, like I said, in your own backyard, but when it comes to really making an effect, we've got to have some strategy. We can't just flippantly do this or that. Now we continue to do our petitions. We continue to do all the confessions that we do, and the Spirit leads us what to say. We can continue to do that. Because I think that's all part of it. But as we pray in the Spirit, I want to know what the Lord shows you. And we're going to start forming a picture, a map, if you will, of what the Spirit's saying. Yeah, he's got some Texas maps over there. And as we do this, it'll become more clear what we need to do and what the instructions are. Because see, when all their consciousness is gathered, then what happens? They form a plan of attack. And there's the ultimate goal. A plan of attack to open the area so that the gospel can go forward. That these people, where these are, these places, they can now be penetrated and infiltrated with the kingdom of God, God's ways, God's order, God's government. Okay.